chapter 4 and 2 Chronicles chapter 15. For any of you in here that don't know me, my name is Brother Gil Torres. I pastor the Spanish church. I thank you for your prayers for our ministry. The Lord is blessing in an incredible way. We're seeing people saved. I can't remember the last time we had a service where nobody got baptized, so that's always a blessing. And God is just doing some great, great things. 566 in services last Sunday, and it seems like we're going from 500 to 600 much quicker than we went from 400 to 500. So God's doing an incredible work. Thank you so much. I know many of you in here pray for us, so I really, really am grateful and thankful to our Lord for your prayers. Look at Mark chapter 4, and let's start with verse 1, and then I'll kind of drop down into verse 10. The Bible says, Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. And then he goes on and speaks a parable. If you drop down into verse 9, he continues and he says this: And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for your love. We pray this morning for our preacher. We bless Pastor Fisher, Mrs. Fisher, as they travel, Lord. Use them in a great way this morning, this day, this week. I pray now, Lord, that you would speak to us through your presence, through your word. Lord, I pray that you would empower me to be able to present this message as if it was you speaking directly. Lord, I'm a messenger, and all I want to do is give out the right message this morning. Bless the service to come in the Spanish as I quickly run down there also to preach. Bless all the visitors that are here for the first time. I pray for their salvation. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at verse 10, it says, first I'll go with verse 9. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him, when the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And then he says, But them that are without, all these things shall be done in parables. And I want to follow this message today, and I want to give you a thought, and it's nothing new, but I think it's something that will help you if you'll listen. When the 12, you know, would you agree with me that the 12 had certain privileges? You know, the 12 were able to get in close. And as you look at this scripture, you'll notice that he says, The mystery I will reveal unto you, but unto the rest, the ones that are without, they'll have to follow or learn about a parable. I'll have you in close, and I'll teach you some things. I'll reveal to you some inside information, stuff that not the average person receives. And I read this verse and I thought to myself, if there's one thing that I want as long as I live here on earth, is to receive everything that the Lord is willing to give me. If God has something for me, if God wants to show me something special, if He got a certain plan in my life, I want to get close enough to Him where He can reveal to me what it is He wants to reveal to me. I don't want to be without. I want to be in His presence. I want to be where He's at in order for Him to communicate to me clearly what it is He wants me to know. Because I believe that God wants every one of us in this morning that are here present, God wants every one of us to know certain things that we still don't know. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that if there were certain things, if God did not have anything more to give me, then He would have taken me home. But God has got me here, and He's got a reason, and He's got a plan, and what He wants to do is He wants to reveal to me certain things. And I want you to think about that. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And let's continue. We've got a few verses to look at. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And let's look at verse 1, and I'll read down to verse 5. And the Spirit of God came unto Asaria, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him, and if ye seek him. He will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel have been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. And when they were in trouble, did turn unto the Lord. And in their trouble they did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, and was found of him. If you look at this verse here, it talks about, basically, about the condition of Israel. And it says here clearly that they, at this time, they were living without the true God and without his teaching and without his law. And I kind of looked at that and kind of thought a little bit about what that meant in my life. And I look at myself when I was lost, when I was in the world, when I didn't know Christ as my Savior. Well, obviously, I didn't have the law. I didn't have his word. And I didn't have him in my life, because to have a true God is to receive him as Savior. And I didn't have a teaching priest or a pastor to direct me and to guide me and to teach me. But the great thing is that when I got saved, I got the Word of God. The Lord gave me a pastor, and he lives in me. And I think about this, and I understand that when we get saved, the Bible talks about he comes and he's in our lives and he's in our hearts, and what he wants to do from here on out is to begin to control or to dominate our lives as we live here on earth, because he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for us. He wants us to live in his presence. The truth of the matter is, most Christians, and it's a sad thing to say, most Christians do not live in his presence. I mean, they've got the Word of God. They got a preacher, probably. They've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, but they do not live in his presence. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about really, truly living in his presence. If it really is your desire to live in his presence, because I'll tell you what, any one of us can say, I want to live in his presence. That's what I want more than anything else. But it's another thing to truly desire it. And that's where we fall short. Look at Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Continue to just review these scriptures, and I'm going to be brief this morning. 65, verse 2. Chapter 65 of Isaiah, in verse 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own, what does it say there? Their own thoughts. You know, the truth of the matter is, the reason why we're not in his presence is because we choose not to be in his presence. That's what it is. Because in the Bible, it clearly teaches us that he wants to be in our lives. That he wants to be the focus, that he wants to be the one that dominates, the one that guides, the one that instructs, the one that leads. And the Scripture teaches us clearly that that's his desire. You say, well, what's the Holy Spirit doing in me? The Holy Spirit has come into me in order for I can have that relationship with him that I couldn't have before I was saved. And that relationship means being in his presence. Being where he's at, being it close enough to where he can be truly the guide in your life. You see, most Christians have the Holy Spirit in them, and obviously if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, but God, you may have God, but God doesn't have you. You may have God, but God does not have you. And that's what I want to kind of go into. And I want to just read a few verses regarding his presence. Look at Psalms chapter 16, please. Psalms chapter 16. It's good to be saved, amen? Yeah. Psalms chapter 16. If you look at Psalms chapter 16, if you would, please look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Look at Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. And if you look at Exodus 33, look at verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. We just finished reading that where it says the fullness of the joy is in his presence. And now it talks about the rest that he gives. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You know what he was saying? He was saying basically, you know what? I don't want to go anywhere where you're not going to be. I want to be constantly in your presence, Lord. Because the fullness, the joy is in your presence. The rest is in your presence. I don't want to live without you being the focus of my life. Lord, I need you, Lord. I want to give myself to you. I want to follow you, Lord, because it's in your presence that I truly understand what I need. You see, I don't really understand what I need until I'm in his presence. And he reveals to me certain things. It's in his presence. Look what it says in Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah chapter 43. And I know you don't mind looking at a lot of scriptures because our preacher does a lot. Amen. Isaiah 43. You look at Isaiah chapter 43, look at verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon, what does it say? Thee. You know what God's telling us? That when we're in his presence, there's joy. When we're in his presence, there's protection. When we're in his presence, there's rest. You know, when you read all these things, and then in Colossians, and we won't go there, but in Colossians it says, let the peace of God rule your heart. And I look at the Bible and I think to myself, you know, if all this that we're looking at this morning is true, if it really is the Word of God, and if we really believe it like we say we believe it, then what are we doing living outside of His presence? Really, what are we doing living outside His presence? And if we look at this and if we're honest with ourselves, we do live outside His presence. We do. Because we forget that, I'll tell you what, His presence is something that just doesn't come natural. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm in His presence. No, He's in you, but not necessarily means that you're in His presence. Because what happens is this, when God found us, because He found us, we weren't looking for Him. When God found us, the Bible says that He came to live in our hearts, and now the process of the Christian life is to seek Him. Is to look for Him. And when we look and we seek Him with all our heart, the Bible clearly says He'll be found. Because He's there, He's waiting, and He's just waiting for us. As He says, His hands are extended, and He says, all I want you to do, now that you're saved, I want you to come on to me. And as we think about this, and as we're honest with ourselves, yeah, we might have taken a few steps here and there. But I think everyone in this room today should be able to say, I could get closer to God. I can get closer to God. If you think you're as close as you'll ever get, then I'll tell you what, you're actually going backwards. Because I tell you what, it is a process. It is an ongoing thing to get close to God. It is a constant seeking. It's constantly reaching out. Paul clearly said, he goes, I am crucified. Why was Paul crucified? Because Paul realized that if he wouldn't crucify his body, he would not go into the presence of God. See, he was interested in the power of God. He was interested in being before God. And he says, if I don't crucify this body, if I don't crucify this flesh, I will not be in his presence. So it was a decision that he made. He said, I'm crucified. Because I'm not going to allow anything. I'm not going to allow this body. I'm not going to let this world. I'm not going to let the devil. I'm not going to let the sin keep me from His presence. He decided that the sin, that the world, the things of this world were only there to keep Him from God.
And he said, I will crucify myself. Why? Because I want to be in his presence. I asked myself, how many of us have made that decision? I really want to be in his presence. I really want to sacrifice myself. But I really want to live a life that glorifies God. Look at Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And look at this, and the fellowship of his sufferings. You see that? He wanted to be in his presence, but he knew there was power in his presence. But he says, I also know that there's going to be suffering in his presence. You see, the average Christian doesn't want to get that close because he knows there's a price to pay. And he's not willing to step into his presence. And he says, well, I want all the power, God. I want to know the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to know the power of you in my life. But then you start talking about the suffering end of it. And that's where we back off. Look what it says. And the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. And by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. You know what Paul's saying here? He says, you know what? I am going forward into his presence. But you know what? I've got a ways to go. I've got a ways to go. But I'm going forward though. You see, the thing is, you know what? There's still a gap. I want to be more closer. There's a gap. But you know what? I'm still going towards. I want to close the gap. You see, God is way out here. He's so perfect. And I'm so sinful. And there's certain things. But you know what? I understand one thing. I need to go forward because I know I'm not perfect. But I want to get to the one who's perfect. Look what he says. As I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto the things which are before me. You know what I'm doing? I'm reaching towards perfection. How do we know that? I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, I'm going forward because when I get in His presence, the high calling, He'll reveal to me the high calling. He will teach me things I don't know. He will reveal to me things I don't have any idea of. And God will work in my life. Most aren't willing to do that. Most people, look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and let's look at verse 18. Exodus chapter 20. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. You know, the people could see hear the thunder, they could see the lightning, they could smell the smoke. And the Bible says they were fearful, and I know that God demanded that they stay below and that only Moses would go up. But I also thought, and I looked at this verse and I thought this, I says, it says here that the people themselves didn't even want to go. They were fearful of what they were seeing, what they were hearing. And they didn't want to go in God's presence. And they wanted to stay back, and the Bible says there, Moses, you go ahead and go, and whatever he tells you, then you can just pass that on to us. It's okay that you get close to God, but we're going to stay back. And you know what? How many Christians would love to see their preacher get next to God? Or their teachers? Or their leaders?
Oh, if my leaders would only get next to God, or the preacher would really walk with God, or this brother that's teaching or doing this or that, or this director would only get close to God, and maybe things could happen. You know, I look at that and I tell myself, truly God today wants me to go up to the mountain and get in His presence. God wants me to come out from the multitude of people and be up in His presence. There's a lot of room up in His presence. It's crowded down below. And God wants us to step up. He wants every one of us in here to step up. He wants us to review our lives and say, okay, this is where we're at. This is where we need to go. You know what? Most Christians don't review their life. They get to a certain stage and they're just there. I'm here. I've been here 10 years. I'm not going nowhere. Why? Why won't you go up? I'll tell you why most people won't go up. Most people won't go up because to go up is to be exposed. Most people will not go up because they want to get exposed. There's certain things that will be exposed. And once they become exposed, God removes them. See, down here, there's not a lot of conviction. Down here, it's, you know, I'm just happy to be saved. I'm on my way to heaven. What more do I need? Amen? I'm already going to heaven. I got the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. I don't need to do all those extra things. I don't need to be soul winning. I don't need to be living separate. I don't need to be teaching. I don't need to be living a holy, holy, fanatical type of life. I can stay right here. And people will not go into His presence or take that step, come up from out of the multitude. Why? Because there'll be exposure. And I ask myself and I think, I go, you know, that is such a sad condition for a child of God to be more concerned with those things being exposed as opposed to being concerned with going into His presence. You know, we read in the story here, and it won't go there, but if you look in Exodus later on in chapter 32, you know, all them that stayed back and Moses was up on the mountain, all they did was sin. They built an idol. They built a golden calf. Why? Because they were down below and Moses was up in the presence of God. They weren't in the presence of God. They were down below. And I'll tell you what, if you decide just to stay where you're at, the only answer is that you're going to fall deep into sin one day. Because if you're not going up into the mountain, up into His presence, you will go back. And I don't care how much you try to convince yourself that it's okay to stay where you're at. It's not okay. And we got to look at this and look at where we're at. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2. I hope we're okay with this message on a Sunday morning. I preached this in the Spanish on a Wednesday night, so it's the one the Lord put in my heart. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. And he said, and I just want to take one little phrase out of this verse. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is God? And I read that verse and I thought this, and I'm not trying to take it out of context, but I asked myself, how many times have Christians said, where is God? Where is God? Something happens. A tragedy comes upon your life. And you know what we do? Where is God? I mean, we're the believers. We're the Christians. We get certain information or certain bad news and we say, where is God? And we start to question where He's at. And I ask myself, why is it that we say, where is God? We say, where is God? Because we're not in His presence. The problem isn't that God has moved. The problem is that you're out of your place. See, God's always where He should be. God's in the perfect place at the perfect time every single second of every day. The problem is, where are you? The problem is, where am I? See, we got to look at our lives and say, instead of saying, where is God, where am I? Why is it that I'm saying, where is God? The reason I'm saying, where is God? Because I'm out of place. And from where I'm at, I can't see Him. That's the problem. It's right here. It's me. Where is God? Look at Psalms chapter 13. Psalms chapter 13. Psalms 13. Psalms chapter 13, if you would, please look at verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Hide thy face from me? God doesn't want to hide His face from anybody. God wants to be in our life. See, God is not hard to find. He is not, it's not like He sends us on a rabbit trail and says, look here and then look there. No, God says, I'm where I'm supposed to be. All I want you to is truly seek to find me. Look at another verse. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, look at verse. Psalm 69, verse 3. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried and my eyes fail while I wait for my God. You know, we read these verses and they're all kind of desperate. Like, where's God? What's He doing? Where's He at? Why does that happen? It doesn't happen because God did something and He doesn't want you in close. It happens because you and me have decided not to go into His presence. And because we're not going into His presence, that desperation comes upon us. Because I'll tell you what, when you're in His presence, things can happen in your life, and God keeps us in perfect peace. Whose mind has stayed on Thee? Perfect peace. Perfect peace in the trials. Perfect threes, when the rivers are overflowing, you won't get burned. It won't overtake you. There's certain things I'm allowed to come into your life. There'll be affliction, there'll be problems, there'll be hurt, but I'll give you perfect peace in the middle of all that. But you've got to be going forward. You've got to be going into my presence. You can't live outside of my presence. What is it going to take for you to realize that? What is it going to take for us to realize that? When are we going to realize that we can't let a day go by without being in that book? Really? You know, it's sad that some of us have not even prayed this week. Some have not even told anybody how to get saved. When was the last time you got on the bus and told somebody how to get saved? When was the last time you shared your faith? When was the last time you got serious? Each and every one of these things is to bring us to God, to bring us into His presence, to see His mighty hand. There's a desperation on these verses. Look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 82. Mine eyes fail for Thy word, saying, when will Thou comfort me? When will Thou comfort me? Where are You? Why are You hiding Your face? When are You going to comfort me? Where is God? All these are things that are coming out of someone that's not in the presence of God. Or at least heading towards the presence of God. I don't know about you, but when tragedy comes into my life, and I know it's coming, because it's life, I want to be in His presence. I don't want to wait till tragedy comes and find myself outside of His presence and have that actually pull me out of God's will. I've had a few people, and I've knocked on a few doors, and I hear it over and over again, well, where was God when I needed Him? Where was God?
What's God doing? Why did He allow this to happen? Why did He allow that to happen? I have people, I do a lot of counseling. I have folks that sit in my office and we talk about certain things, problems that are happening in their life, and then I kind of just slow them down and I say, okay, let me ask you a few questions. And what I'm trying to do is find out if they're in the presence of God. And you know what I find out? 85-95% of the time, they are not even in God's presence. They're not even looking for God. And you know what I do? I say, you know what? Let's just kind of put all those problems aside and let's focus in on finding God. And then I give them that counsel and I say, you know what? If you'll just dedicate your life from here on out looking for God, seeking Him, if you'll just focus in on where you should be with Him, God will take care of those things. The problem is you're trying to take care of them and you forgot about His presence. I tell you what, that should be our number one priority. Nothing should be more important than being in God's will. Nothing in His presence going forward. Seeking Him. Look at Psalms 34. Psalms 34. Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. The Bible says taste. Look, remember that. Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're just about going to wrap it up. Mark chapter 5. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Mark chapter 5, look at verse 28. For He said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. You know what the presence of God brings? It brings completion in your life. You become whole when you're in His presence. You understand the abundant life. You see, we've got physical life, but God wants us to have abundant life. And that comes only in His presence. If you look at these two verses, two things interesting it said. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then she said, I needed to touch His garment. The children of Israel, when they were standing down at the mountain, the bottom of the mountain, and they were looking up, they could hear God. They could see Him. They could smell Him, but only Moses could taste and touch Him. Only Moses could taste and touch Him. Why? Because Moses was going up. You see, the Christian life is always going up. It's going up. It's climbing to where He's at. It's going into His presence. It's coming out from among the multitude and saying, okay, Lord, I can see You. Most Christians, like I said earlier, are just happy to be able to say they're saved. And they're down here, and they can hear, and they can see. They come to church, and they hear about what God's doing. They come here, and they see all the people coming to church on the buses. But they don't touch it. They don't touch it. They don't taste it. And I'll tell you what, if you don't taste and touch it, you're not in close. You've got to come out. You've got to not be content with being able just to hear and to be able to see and to be able to smell what God's doing around here. What we need is a church full of people wanting to taste and wanting to touch God and wanting to go into His presence. And we've got to decide and say, okay, Lord, I'm looking from afar. I'm seeing afar like the children were looking. They were looking up. I don't want to look up. I want to go up. But that has to be a decision. Oh, I'm going to go up. Okay, I'm going to have to dress lightly. Yeah, God says, come up. A couple things you got to take off before you come up. A couple things I got to have to remove. A couple things you're going to have to leave down at the base. You can leave it down there. You don't need it anymore. Because you're going to be in My presence. And I will give you what that weight was giving you. That besetting sin, it was giving you a certain type of pleasure. That's why you had it. That's why you don't want to let go of it. It was feeding you. But you don't have to worry about getting fed there. I got something better. As you come into my presence, I got something rich. I got something everlasting. I got something overflowing. But you've got to come up and you've got to taste it and you've got to touch it. I asked Brother Jeff to come up here, and I'm going to use him for a quick illustration. Brother, if you'd stand up on the top step up here. You know, I don't know where you're at. But if you're just right here, you've been saved. You know, why don't you take a step up? Why don't you take the next step? You said, well, I took a step, okay? Why don't you take another step? Some of you are right about here. Probably most of you about right here. But you know what? There's still a gap. There's still some more up there. You've had a few things go wrong in your life, a few things that have hit you kind of hard, and you kind of stood right here for a while. And if you're not careful, you're going to slide back down a step. You say, well, I can handle it. I can be all right here. I just want to live this type of Christian life from this distance. Or some of you might have even gotten a little bit closer and you've come down to here. The thought is this. We want to constantly go forward into His presence, so you've got to decide where you're at. If you're just down here saved and you're on your way to glory, well, you've got to realize that if God hasn't taken you home, maybe it's because He's waiting for you to do something. I can see Him from here. I can hear Him. I can almost smell Him. But if I want to taste Brother Jeff, I got to come up here. I want to touch Him. I'm not going to taste Him. Amen. But we got, you know, where are we at? Thank you, buddy. Thanks. God's presence. One last verse and I'm done. Ephesians. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It's always so good to be in church. And He hath quickened, chapter 2, Ephesians, and He hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceedingly riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Last thing, and I'm done. I've pretty much, up to now, I've talked about the Christian and the Christian stepping into God's presence. But you know what? You cannot step into God's presence if God is not in your heart, if you're not saved. You see, every one of us that are in here today that are saved, we made a decision to receive Christ as Savior. Why did we receive Christ as Savior? Because we realized that we were sinners. We realized that we could not stop sinning. That was just habit. That was our life. But we realized that there was no joy in that type of life. 17 years ago, I received Christ in this church. And it was because I realized that I was a sinner, and I realized that if I died in that condition, I would live eternally without God. And when I heard for the very first time that God wanted to come into my life, that He wanted to be present in my heart, it was something unbelievable to think that someone so perfect would come down and die for me, a sinner. Nothing to be desired. And I received Christ. But if you're in here today and you're saying, wow, I like what you're talking about, getting close to God, that sounds good. You can't do it if you're not saved. Why can't you do it? Because the Bible says there's a huge... See, right now, the Christian, the only blockage or the only thing that's in between him is the Christian himself. For me to go to God's presence, the only thing that can stop me is me. But as a non-Christian, as an unsaved person, the thing that stops me is sin. See, you can look at God and say, okay, I want to get to God, but if you have this right here in your way, you can't get there. This representing sin. So what God does is this. He walks by looking for you. And you're here today because God wanted you to hear this if you're not saved. And He brought you here today because He wants you to know Him. And God is looking for you. See, you're not looking for Him. He's looking for you. And you get here and you realize that there's no way, nothing you can do about the sin problem. And then God comes and He says, hey, look over here. I'm right here. For me, it was the 13th of July, 1986, here in this church. He says, I'm right over here. All you got to do is turn. Look, I'm looking for you. All you got to do is realize that you're a sinner, that you can't handle that big load, that I'm the only one that can remove that from your life, that I'm the only one that can give you eternal life. If you put your confidence and your faith in me and stop trusting in yourself, stop trusting in your good works, stop trusting in religion, stop trusting in what you believe, just put your faith and trust in me, repent and turn to me, and I'll save you. And you come before God and you ask Him in your heart and you get saved, and it's so simple, it's unbelievable. And you say, well, what can I do? He goes, if I get saved, then what's going to happen? Well, first of all, you won't have sin working against you. What you'll do now is you'll have God working for you. And God, as God's working for you, God will take you away from sin. You say, you couldn't get through sin, but God can take you through it. And then God does something really incredible. He not only takes you from sin, but then He starts to work in you. And then He starts to change who you are. And then the things that you desired before, all of a sudden you lose desire for those things. And it even sounds ridiculous. You say, man, how could I can't believe I used to like to drink beer. I can't believe I used to like to do drugs or involved in immorality or whatever it was that you had. And you start to say, wow, I'm so thankful. And you think of those things and you even want to throw up. But it's because God's working in you. See, you can't do that on your own. God has to work in you. That's why I tell folks that say, well, if I get saved, I don't know if I can change. You know what? You can't change. Only God can work in you to make you change. But God, and the incredible thing is this, not only does He work in you, but then He works through you. And that is something. He starts working through you. And you start influencing. I would have never imagined that God would use me like He's using me today. In 100 years, when I came in here with a critical spirit, not wanting anything to do with this, and God did some incredible things in my life, and He's working right now through me. It's not me, it's Him through me. So I want to live closer to Him. I told the minister the other day, I feel like I'm as close right now as I've ever been in my whole life. But I don't feel like I've arrived. I'm closer than I've ever been, but I'm not where I can still be. If you're in here today, and if you're not 100% sure that if you died today, God can save you. And if you're already saved, you don't have this obstacle in front of you. God removed it. What's keeping you from His presence? Amen? A lost guy has all the excuse in the world. A saved guy has no excuse. And that's why we'll stand before God and we will give account for the good and the bad. And He won't accept any excuses. Oh, you know, Lord, it was so hard. He goes, I did the hard part. The hard part was me coming and dying on the cross. That was difficult. All you had to do was receive it. And now you're telling me you wouldn't live for me? I'm going to stand before God just like every one of you. And I'm just trying to exhort you. If you feel like I'm talking down at you. I'm not. Believe me, I'm working with this myself. But I want to get closer. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Let's stand and pray. Like to come forward, the altar's open. Maybe you need to review some things and ask the Lord to bring you up another notch. Maybe we've lost our focus. Maybe we were once living in His presence, but today we're not as close as we were. One of the hardest things as a Christian is to say, I was close and now I'm not. Oh, Christian, you can be back where you were and you can pass that and you can go further. Don't let Satan deceive you. Oh, you don't know what's happened in my life. No, but God knows and He allowed it to happen. Don't let bitterness, don't let anger keep you from coming forward. While everyone is praying, no one's looking, I just want to ask a question in here. If you're in here this afternoon or this morning, or this afternoon, it's after 12, and you're not sure, if you're not 100% sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, would you please raise your hand? I want to pray for you. If you're in here today and you're not 100% sure, thank you for your honesty. I see that hand. Somebody else. I'm not sure. I'd like to receive Christ. Thank you for being honest. Somebody else. Thank you, young man. Somebody else. Somebody over here to the left, raise your hand, brother. I don't know. Halfway up on the left. Somebody else. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I want to be in His presence, but I got to get saved first. Anybody else? Somebody else. If I died today, I'm not sure. I need to get that thing taken care of before I can apply the message today. Just the folks that raise their hand, I want to ask you something, if you would, and I hope you don't feel offended by this, but they asked me the same question 17 years ago when I raised my hand. They said, if you really want to receive the Lord, would you allow us to show you from the Bible how you can know the Lord? Because the truth is, I could pray for you to get saved, but someone has to show you from the Word of God how to get saved. If you raised your hand, would you come up here to the front here and let us show you with the Bible how you can get saved? Would you take that step of faith? Would you allow us to help you with that? Come on up. We're going to help you out with this. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not sure. I want to get saved. Just be honest. Just come on up. There's a young man over here that wants to... Come on up. This young lady back here, Brother Wade, she's coming out with, she's just right there, coming out in the white. Showing from the Word of God. 17 years ago, someone showed me from the Word of God. Somebody else. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You now, Lord, for the folks that have come forward for salvation, Lord. We pray now for their souls that they come to know You, Lord, as Savior. Lord, I pray that it would be real to them, Lord, and they would understand clearly what it is to be saved. And I pray now, Lord, for us as the Christians that are still here, Lord. Would You help us, Lord, to take that next step? Would You give us encouragement, Lord, to follow You, Lord? Because, Lord, the truth is, the way we're living, Lord, it's just not getting it done, Lord. We can see You, we can hear You, but we can't touch and taste You, Lord. We want to step to that next level, Father. Please help us to come up and to be in Your presence. Thank You so much, Lord, for all You've done. Thank You for the folks that are coming forward to get saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.